Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jennifer Glass, and this is On Point. Fasten your seatbelts. The driverless car is here. Google will be rolling out a fleet of 20,000 taxis without drivers in Phoenix this year. Tesla says it will have a car drive itself from Los Angeles to New York. And some experts say we'll all be handing over the wheel in the next few years. But in the wake of two driverless car fatalities, some wonder if we're skidding off the road too fast. This hour on Point, the future of self-driving cars. But first, we turn to the EPA's announcement that it's revoking Obama-era auto emission standards, saying that the 50 miles per gallon requirement by 2025 was too high. California is threatening to sue. With 12 other states following California's lead, get ready for major political and legal battles. We reached out to the EPA. They didn't respond to our request to participate or provide a statement. Joining me now from Washington is Carolyn Lockhead, Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. Her story yesterday was headlined, Trump's EPA moves to roll back emissions rules for cars, trucks. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Carolyn, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jennifer.
So thanks for being here. Mike, what did the EPA do yesterday?
Well, the EPA basically said it made a final ruling that it's going to reexamine these car standards and in all likelihood weaken them. In fact, they pretty much said they're going to weaken them. They're too tough on automakers. This is probably Administrator Scott Pruitt's biggest action on the climate change front, because transportation makes up the majority now of greenhouse gas emissions. This is bigger than the climate plan or anything else, because cars are such a big chunk of our emissions.
And California, under the Clean Air Act, actually has a waiver to set its own emission standards, and that's something that Scott Pruitt is looking at as well. So this really sets up a conflict with California, doesn't it?
Not just a conflict. This is going to be a monumental legal fight, because these clean car standards, California is definitely moving ahead on clean car standards. In fact, it's going to tighten them further. There is no way that California can meet its ambitious greenhouse gas targets without them. So every state official from the governor on down, the attorney general, the head of the California Air Resources Board said, no way are we turning back on this. So we've got a huge conflict now with the potential for a double standard that automakers will have to sell some cars in Oklahoma and different cars in California.
The attorney general, very strong words this week, saying we're going to do everything that can be done to defend these standards. So far, when we've been challenged on environmental standards, we've had a good record in court, he says. Now, let's listen to Scott Pruitt testifying before the Senate Environment and Public Works Oversight Committee on January 3rd of this year, saying that the EPA may do away with the waivers, along with states like California, to implement stronger emission standards.
Federalism doesn't mean that one state can dictate to the rest of the country, but we recognize California's special status in the statute, and we are working with them to find a consensus around these issues.
But it looks like no consensus moving forward. And as you said, Carolyn, what do we think this legal battle is going to look like?
Well, I don't see either side budging. And in order to stick with one national standard, which Pruitt and the automakers say they want, California would have to relax its standards, or the EPA would have to not roll them back. So it's a real Donnybrook. I don't see any room for compromise at this point. Some of the automakers want is for the two sides to finesse things, give them a range of credits and so forth that would make it easier for them to meet these rules. But it was interesting to me that American Honda told me that all the automakers know that we need to go to electrified powertrains. The rest of the world is moving toward electric vehicles. Some of the automakers still want to make a lot of SUVs and pickup trucks. That's what's selling now with low gas prices, but that is not the future of automobiles.
Wow. So a whole different movement. Electric vehicles would mean a whole different thing. I want to bring in a little bit of the environmental impact of this. You mentioned it earlier. Joining us from Washington is Daniel Becker. He's the director of the Safe Climate Campaign, which fights global warming, and he's the former director of the Sierra Club's Global Warming Program. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Daniel, tell us, as Carolyn alluded to, cars, transportation are the biggest polluter in the United States. What will this rollback mean for the environment?
Well, it's a huge gift to polluters, and it's a cynical effort to make America polluted again, to coin a phrase. These standards are the biggest single step, as Carolyn said, to curbing global warming and saving oil. They'll save 12 billion barrels of oil and 6 million tons of carbon dioxide pollution while saving consumers about $1 trillion at the gas pump net of the cost of the technologies that improve the mileage and emissions. So this is a huge environmental benefit that the administration wants to now attack. And they're doing it at the behest of the auto companies. It was a year ago, January, that the then CEO of Ford Motor Company turned to the president in a meeting 4 days into the new administration and said, you've got to roll back these terrible CAFE standards or we'll lose 1 million jobs in the auto industry, which was an alternative fact. If you add Ford's and GM's and Chrysler's total number of employees, it's only 900,000. So they were making stuff up. And
Daniel, on those CAFE standards, can you explain those for our listeners?
Sure. What this was a negotiated agreement between the auto companies, the administration, California, and the other states that follow California's law and environmentalists. Partly it was in exchange for the $85 billion bailout that the taxpayers gave GM and Chrysler. And what the rules require is that the fleet on average needs to achieve better fuel economy. So you save gasoline mostly by adding better technology to the vehicle, better engines, better transmissions, improved aerodynamics. There's no requirement in these rules that they make a single electric vehicle, and some of the car companies aren't making a single electric vehicle. But what Mr. Pruitt is alleging is that these standards are bad for the auto companies that had previously agreed to them, and the auto companies are enthusiastically greeting rollbacks, although they're a little bit worried that Trump wants to go too far and go to war with California and the other states that want cleaner vehicles so that they can protect their citizens' health and environment.
Carolyn said that she's spoken to car companies that want to make electric cars. Are you not finding that?
They want to make a few electric cars. Ford Motor Company says it wants to make 20 different models of electric cars, but last year they only made 1,817 actual electric cars. It's like the wimpy character in Popeye. I gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. They claim that they want something that they're not actually trying to do. Other than a few companies like Tesla that really want to make electric cars, Nissan's making a fair number. GM is making a fair number of one type, the Bolt, but nothing near the 750,000 pickup trucks, F-150 pickup trucks, for example, that Ford makes every year. Electric cars are absolutely the future, but the auto companies want them to be the distant future.
Carolyn, sorry to interrupt you there. Carolyn, I just wanted to come back to you on what you think Californians can do, California can do, and how long will this debate take? Daniel, obviously not happy and feeling that it's going to have a huge environmental impact. California, famous for its environmental regulation. Is there anything that Californians can do?
Well, Californians can stop buying pickup trucks and SUVs, which are now the most popular vehicle in California. But what California will do is fight this. It really does, though, damage its ability to meet its own clean car standards, because you get big economies of scale under a national standard where all the automakers are required to meet a specific standard. Now it's just California and 12 other states, and although that's a third of the market, that's still not as big a market, and it's going to slow down that whole process. But the legal fight poses a threat to the auto companies, too, because this could easily go into the next administration, and they've got to get their vehicle designs out for the model years in question. So this isn't necessarily, I mean, is probably throwing a wrench into their own designs, which is why they are all hankering for a single national standard, even though they want it lowered.
So an environmental as well as an economic impact. Daniel, do you get a sense from the car companies that they feel like they have any environmental responsibility?
No, but they know that their customers care about the environment, and they don't want to stick their fingers in their customers' eyes. That's what they're effectively doing by demanding these rollbacks. But they also need to be worried about China, because the Chinese are building an enormous auto industry that has its eyes on American consumers, too. And if the American manufacturers take advantage of Mr. Trump's action and Pruitt's action to get out of the business of making vehicles with cleaner technology, the Chinese may very well step in and take away that market share. So it's an existential threat to the auto companies. And they also are heading back on the path that they were in 2008, when they made so many SUVs and so many pickup trucks, and when the gas prices started to rise, consumers didn't want them. And I don't know when gas prices will start to go back up, but we all know that they will someday, and the auto companies could be caught with their tailpipes down if that happens.
So, Carolyn, just very briefly, this rollback by the EPA didn't come entirely as a surprise.
No, Pruitt signaled this way back at a Senate confirmation hearing when he was directly asked by Senator Kamala Harris about the waiver, and he was, he wasn't definitive about it. It would be a very big legal challenge to overturn that waiver. It's written into the 1970 Clean Air Act.
Carolyn Lockhead, who's the Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Daniel Becker, the director of the Safe Climate Change Campaign, thank you.
Thank you very much.